I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, then
Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
and I can't feel
at home in this world anymore.
I just realized I forgot to announce the invitation song. We need to mark that for 308. 308 at the time the invitation's offered.
It's great to be here this morning. And it's great to see all of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want to especially welcome you. You are our honored guests, and we'd like to do everything that we possibly can to make you feel welcome at home here. And if you live in this community, we'd love to have you worship with us on a regular basis. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I have again this morning to stand before you and speak to you from the pages of God's Word. And I'm thankful to God that He has given me the strength to do so. And so I hope that I can present a lesson that will build you up and strengthen you, make you a better servant of God, and to give you the hope of heaven when this life is over. I'd like to bring to your attention a scripture in Matthew 18, verse 3, a scripture that is quoted often and that one that we can quote by heart. Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, we've often spoken and talked of converting people. And when we talk about converting people, we usually think of converting alien sinners. But this morning, I want to talk to you about converting church members. Now, this may seem strange and even contradictory. You say, "I thought all members of the church were converted." But the painful truth is that many church members are not converted. The word convert means to turn, to change, to transform. And the problem is that many who have their names on the church roll have not been changed, have not been converted. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 at verse 2. He said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." There's that word again. Convert, transform. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that it might be reflected in your life what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And one of the painful aspects of this subject is standing up here and telling members of the church that they are not converted to Christ. And a lot of times when preachers begin to preach like this, somebody gets their feelings hurt. Somebody gets offended, mad. But if all of us here this morning we'll honestly search our heart and apply this lesson to ourselves, our own life, As painful as it may seem, this can be a profitable study for us. And if we really want to be converted to Christ, committed to Him, then let this lesson be the starting point from where we begin a life, live a life which reflects that desire that we want to be a faithful child of God. And let's have the attitude here that Paul had in Philippians 1 at verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What does he mean by that? Well, he explains it a little further there in Galatians 2 at verse 20. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Today, I want to look at another man in the Bible, another man who thought he was converted but was told that he was not, and see what it took to convert him. It took place here at the Lord's, at the Last Supper. And Jesus was talking to his disciples after they had eaten. And Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord told Peter, in effect, that he had not yet been converted. And what makes this account so interesting, that Peter was so much like a lot of us. Have you ever thought about that? Can you look at Peter's life and all the things that he did, and can you relate to him in some of the things that you have done? For one thing, he was hasty in his speech. In Matthew chapter 16 at verse 21, the writer said, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far it be from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man.'" In John chapter 13 at verse 6, Jesus here was washing the feet of his disciples. And the writer said, "Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." And then in Matthew 14, beginning at verse 25, he was hasty in his action. Notice what the writer said. "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, how often did you doubt?'" And in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John 18, at verse 10, the writer said, well, you know the story where after he had prayed and gone out of the garden, this mob came and arrested him. It says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father hath given?'" He was eager and enthusiastic. He was eager to please and being enthusiastic. But Jesus said he was not yet converted. In Luke 22, at verse 33, going on from where we read earlier, when he said, this won't be. And he said unto him, Peter speaking here, said, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And Jesus said to him, "Peter, the rooster, the cock, shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice or three times deny that thou knowest." What was Peter's religious state prior to the trial of Jesus? Well, going back to Matthew chapter 4, he was called to be a disciple. The writer said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." This was our first introduction to Peter. But later on, as we go into Matthew chapter 10, we see where he was called to be an apostle of Christ. Now, it says in beginning with verse 1 of Matthew 10, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him," he had them all then, Peter and them were the first four. And he said, "Then he called his 12 disciples to him. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. But Peter was especially regarded by the Lord. Peter, James, and John. In Matthew 17, at verse 1, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before him." And we know that story. He was transfigured with Moses and Elijah, and he talked to them. And Peter was the one that said, "Lord, it is good that we're here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And it says they were overshadowed by a bright cloud, and a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." All these things were all these incidents mentioned Peter as being especially regarded. And there are more. However, I want to make this point. The Bible says nothing of Peter ever holding any official preeminence over the other apostles. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that he was, but the Bible says nothing about. But again, the Lord told him that he was not yet converted. Now, there's a difference between believing in Christ and being converted to him. Jesus warned Peter back there in Luke 22 at verse 31. We read that a while ago. He said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." And later, Peter warned us. He said, "Be sober, sober-minded. Be vigilant, watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Why was Peter not converted? What was Peter's problem? Well, first of all, he was overconfident. He placed too much confidence in himself. Again, in Luke 22 at verse 33, he said to Jesus, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And in Mark 14, again, here was at the Lord's Supper. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he spoke more vehemently. He said, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. But do you know, a lot of us have the same problem. We're overconfident. How many times have you been warned about something? Smoking, drinking, or in any other thing, and you said, hey, I can handle that. I can handle that. How many of us have said that? You know, hey, that won't ever bother me. That won't ever bother me. But Paul warned in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. He fall. Another thing, his enthusiasm ran hot and cold. Once there he avowed he would die with the Lord there in Luke 22 at verse 33. He said, I'll go to you both to prison and to death. And just a few moments later, he became very rash, very violent. It was there when they came to arrest Jesus that he took out his sword and was going to cut the head off of this guy. And he missed him, cut his ear off. He was afraid. Once he was afraid to follow too close to the Lord at the trial. Remember in Luke 22 there at verse 54? He said, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. He followed at a distance. Fear can cause us to do the same thing. He got into bad company there. Remember, he said, now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Sat down with the very enemies of Christ, the unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns, be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good manners. You think about that. Keeping company with wicked people, I tell you, brethren, it'll rub off on you. If you stay around them very long, it'll start rubbing off. It can happen to us. And finally, he denied knowing Jesus. Not once, but three times. Again, going back to the text, he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied three times that you know me. And it happened just let's go to Matthew 26 here and read Matthew's account of this incident. In Matthew 26 at verse 69, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard. Now, that's when he sat with them, remember? Sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about. And then the second time, verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw it and said to those who were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I swear, I tell you, I do not know the man. And then the third time, he says in verse 73, and a little later, those who stood by came up to Peter, and surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. He was a Galilean. He spoke a different language than they did. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I do. He wanted to show that his speech didn't betray him. He began to curse and swear. Do you see the progress of it? You know, when we start denying Christ and we keep on and we get worse and we get worse till we talk like the world. Our speech no longer betrays us as a child of God, but as a wicked person. Was Peter converted here? What was his spiritual state at this time? Well, Jesus said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Isn't it shocking that Peter would seem so low after all that he had seen, after all that he had heard, after all the years that he had spent with the Savior, with the Lord? How could he have done that? Brethren, let's bring this all to here in this place now at this present time. And ask ourselves, would we be any different? Would we be any different in similar circumstances? Are we now different? You say, oh, I would never deny Jesus. That's what Peter said. But really, would you? Have you ever done it? Now, think a minute before you answer that question. And think of all the time you have had the opportunity. I'm talking about the opportunity to speak to some lost soul about Jesus. And you didn't do it. You didn't do it. Think of all the opportunities that you have had to serve Him and to worship Him. When you go home this morning and you start thinking about tonight, coming back tonight, and you say, oh, hey, I don't have to go back there. You don't have to go back. I don't have to go back. I'm not going back there. You had the opportunity to worship Him, and you still have. Think of all the opportunities you had to stand up and defend Him and His Word before unbelievers and before those who are opposed to Him and to His Word. And you didn't do it. Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Once you're converted, go and strengthen the others. James wrote in James 5 verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. Have you ever had that opportunity? Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error's way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Do we do that? Paul wrote in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Do we do that? We need to think about these things, brethren. And we need to think, if we really are converted, we need to become more spiritually minded. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth." Do we do that? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Remember what Paul had said? "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. It is not I that lives, but Christ lives in me." He said, "I am crucified." He said here that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," converted, "by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How can we know? How can we know when we are converted? Well, one way we can know it is when we find more pleasure in serving God than in doing what we want to do, pleasing ourselves. We know it when we feel a compelling desire to speak to someone else, to tell someone else about Christ. And we know it when we are willing to sacrifice all that we have here in this life in order to please Him. Jesus said in Luke 14 at verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And we know it when we can see the true value in being a faithful child of God. Matthew 6, verse 19. Notice what it said. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay out for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is our heart this morning? Where is our heart? Where is your heart? Where is my heart? What was the turning point in Peter's life? Let's go back to Luke 22 again, one more time, and start reading at verse 60, where Peter makes his final denial. He said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. See him turning, looking at Peter. It wasn't an angry word. He didn't say a word. It wasn't a harsh rebuke or humiliating rebuff. It was just a look. But when their eyes met, it was like a bolt of lightning, a sword in his heart. And the writer said, then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And so Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's when it happened. Sometimes we need to wake up. We need to wake up to the fact that we're not converted to Christ. And we need to be converted. We need to be transformed. He said, by the renewing of your mind. And then we need to convert others. What about Peter's subsequent life? What about Peter after this? Before the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ, Peter followed a man. Oh, he was a great man. And Peter, you know, he confessed that he was the Christ and Son. But he was still a man. But after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter followed a risen Savior. He knew then who Jesus really was. And he became a tower of vitality and strength and spent the rest of his life trying to convert others to Christ. We need to do the same thing. We need to wake up. We need to be changed. We need to transform. We need to be converted. And we should not allow our past weaknesses, our past mistakes to weaken us, but turn from them, learn from them, and be converted. I ask you the question. Are you converted? Are you a child of God? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, I am lowly, and you will find rest for your soul. If your life is not right with God, you need to make it right. If there is sin in your life that you have not repented of and sought forgiveness for, you need to do it. You need to do it right now. If you're not a child of God, you need to obey the gospel now. Or if there's something in your life, some sin that everybody knows about, you need to tell them that you've repented. You need to come forward and confess before them your sins and seek their forgiveness. If you're not converted, if you're not right with God, why not do something while together we stand?
We're loved.